Chapter 10. He established me. Ezekiel 2, verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit of the Lord entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet. Then I heard him that spake unto me. For God to set him on his feet indicated that, in the vision, he had sufficiently prepared Ezekiel to stand before him, made him ready to begin to walk, and become active in the work that God had for him to do. Paul speaks of the same divine preparation when he writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gifts of the grace of God upon me, by the effectual working of his power. Paul was made a minister by the grace of God and the effectual working of power. God, in grace to the church, made Paul a minister. There are many self-made ministers in the churches throughout the world, but Paul was God-made and not a man-made minister. Christ, the head of the church, is the only one able to make and establish the men that by his grace he will give as ministers to his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Also in Ephesians 4, chapter 11, and he, that is Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. A young minister in South America said to God, I want to be a great man of God like missionary so-and-so. Then the Lord said unto him, that one is not a great man of God. He is just one that has learned to get out of my way so I can work. Ezekiel had fallen to the ground under the overwhelming power of the vision. God picks him up and sets him on his feet. Ezekiel did not have sufficient strength to get up on his feet by himself. It takes much preparation and strengthening of God before a son of man is made ready to be set upon his feet, stand before the Lord, and minister to the people of God. The one great identifying mark of himself that the prophet Elijah stated in the introduction of his ministry is recorded in the first book of Kings, chapter 17 and verse 1. Elijah spoke to King Ahab and said, As the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. One of the problems that must be overcome is the very human tendency to think that divine revelation and strengthening is not necessary, that we can prepare ourselves for the work of God. A good brain, a strong religious inclination, a humanitarian spirit, a bit of seminary training, and lo, one is ready to become a minister of God, pastor a church, or go to a mission field. A little child wants to feed himself and does not want mommy to help him. If mommy takes a spoon, when more food is on his face, clothes, and floor than his mouth to help feed him, he screams in insulted dignity. The spirit of independence in humankind shows up very early in life, and it quickly becomes obvious in a Christian's development in faith. So often the attitude of a would-be minister is, God, I want you to be there if anything goes wrong, but otherwise, just leave me alone, and I will show you how well I can work for you by myself. A Christian so often wants to homemake himself. He will study hard, memorize what is necessary, even take long years to study and go through all the requirements of the seminary and get the diploma to show the world and God, "See, I can do it." God told Ezekiel to stand upon his feet, but that did not mean that he could do it by himself. If God did not set him on his feet, if God did not establish him, he could never fulfill the purposes of God in his life. A man not set upon his feet by God may gather people around himself and even build a beautiful cathedral or found a hospital or some other institution of charity, but he can never build anything in the true church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, "I will build my church." Therefore, none but his God-established ministers may ever build that divine body of Jesus, his church. The sooner that the man of God in his preparation learns total dependency upon God, the better it will be for him. One of the secrets of Catherine Kuhlman's ministry was a terrible fear that she would go out on that platform and God wouldn't be there with her. She spent hours crying out to God, "Don't leave me tonight." She had a tremendous prayer life. Why? Because she was so spiritual? No. But because she knew that she was so completely dependent upon God that without him, she could do nothing. A certain pastor in a church in Florida had a counseling load of about 12 hours daily. He had neither time to pray or time even to adequately prepare himself to teach the people the ways of God. Finally, he promised to take 2 hours a day to close his office and seek God. He kept that up for about 6 weeks, then back to his old round of counseling. If he had kept that promise for 6 months, he would have found his counseling load would begin to lighten automatically, because God would take care of counseling himself. After all, his name is Counselor. Jesus does not need his little helpers to keep his church going well, but in grace, he uses them because they need him and need to learn to be dependent on him to do his work. One day, Dwight Moody, the great evangelist, was walking down the street with a businessman that was critical of his ministry. As they walked together down the street, they saw a drunk man laying in the gutter. The critic said, "There you are, Mr. Moody. There's one of your converts." And Mr. Moody answered him, "You are right. If it had been one of God's converts, he wouldn't be there." Only that which comes from God is eternal. Jesus informed Nicodemus that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God must first do his work in the heart of the man of God. Spurgeon said that he could only give to his people 1/7 part of that which he had received from God. God may give the grace to speak, minister, or play a piano, but if it does not come from God, it will not have much eternal consequence. In a certain church in Portland, Oregon, 1 hour before the service, the pianist would begin to play with such anointing that the presence of the Holy Spirit would come into that building even before the announced starting time of the service. There was such an anointing flowing through the music that people would slide off their chairs to the floor to pray. Again, in another church in Seattle, Washington, long before the announced time for service, the musicians would begin to worship the Lord through their instruments, weeping as they played. What a glory would settle over that congregation. It was like a great cloud of glory. No preacher preaching, just people worshiping God on their instruments. Once God set the human instrument on his feet, then he can use any instrument, even a piano. God established me, Ezekiel said. Paul said that we are workers together with God. We certainly cannot do it without him, and God will not work at all without human instruments to which to flow. There is a yoking together with God, and Jesus said that his yoke is easy. In many divine healing crusades, I would simply put my hands on people and they would get healed. However, if I did not obey God and do so, they would not get healed. However, I did not and could not heal anybody. If I did what he told me to do, then he did what he said he would do. And if I did not do what he said to me to do, then he did not do his work. He would not heal anyone at that time. It is a definite work of grace flowing through a vessel. But it certainly is not the vessel, but the grace that accomplishes his divine will. God set me on my feet. Ezekiel would have had a hard time getting to his feet in the presence of such glory without God's help. God gave Ezekiel an order, knowing that he could not fulfill that order. God gives orders which he knows are impossible for a son of man to do without divine help. He may give specific orders, knowing that it will be necessary for him to help his servant fulfill those orders. It will also be necessary for the servant to accept the order, set about to fulfill that order, then greatly seek the help of the Lord. Catherine Kuhlman was given orders that she knew she could never fulfill by herself alone. Therefore, she spent much time on her face before God seeking his presence and help. Her understanding was that if God did not set her on her feet, she would certainly not stand alone. One who has had a vision of God will not think himself able to get through a day without divine aid. Such a one will know that only by divine help will he be able to obey and not bring shame to the name of Christ or miserably fail in some way or another. In Ephesians 6, verse 13, we read, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It is wonderful to be able to stand against the onslaughts of the enemy. However, before one can stand, he must be set upon his feet. He must be established and know what for and wherefore he has been set there, and there take his stand. Ezekiel had a vision that totally altered his concept of God and his nation. From that day on, he would take a stand on God's side against all the national and religious evils that existed in his world at that time in history. Out from that vision, a prophet in Israel was raised up, a prophet that would speak the word of truth and the word of God to his captive people in Persia. He would take his unmovable stand for the truth and the revelations that God gave him, regardless of the circumstances or the persons that it angered or affected. God had set him upon his feet and had commanded him to stand, and stand he did. He took his stand on the side of God against all the evil of his nation and the church of his day. From then on, Ezekiel became the mouthpiece of God to his people. Ezekiel took his strong, unmovable stand because of the enablings of God, not because of his strong will or stubborn nature. God set him in his place and gave the empowering command to stand upon his feet. This word of enabling was most necessary because God foreknew that the things he would show Ezekiel concerning the national and religious evil in his nation would both shock and anger many people in high places, and make Ezekiel many enemies. But by the enablings of God, Ezekiel did not falter or waffle in his faithful declaration of the revelation that God gave to him.